Amen. I want to mention that someone asked me from another that goes, to another assembly, asked me, but and I'm hoping they'll start coming here. One of my pickleball acquaintances, but she said, do you serve the Lord's Supper in homes? Will you take it home? And you know, I hadn't thought of that, but you know what? We certainly be glad to bring Messiah's Yizkor, as we call it, to if someone is shut in and they can't get out for health reasons or whatnot. We're happy to do that. So just contact our office, Fran and Teresa, and we'll be happy to do that. Thank you, Zeke, for Miranda and Johnny. For you know, I want to say if this is still in your possession by next week, that's sin. You need to give this is you're going to give this to somebody, right? This week you're going to give it to somebody this week and invite them. Okay. And I'm saying that to myself too. You know, you can just put it away and forget about it. You know, make sure you get it out and write Dave. Yes. Exodus 35. I always been preparing a little. Didn't do it last week, I think, but prepare a little Hazakim song just to hear, get a little excited about them coming. So, what's this one called? This is called Uncut and Raw. Uncut and Raw. So. Just going to play the first minute and a half of it, minute 20, 25 of it.
We represent the word, we don't care who's in the place. Call me Smurf, I quote verses till I'm blue in the face. We lace the track with doctrinal facts. Mike and I collab on a beat, then we drop it on wax. Men prefer darkness over light, though. So no delusions of grandeur, thinking we might blow. Cause nowadays, ignorant is the style that pays. Now I'm saved, I refuse to behave like I'm now a slave for these program directors on the radio. The nonsense on these records is amazing,
Does your chain hang low?
No, my chain doesn't hang low.
Okay.
It seems the ticket to fame is a lame flow. Cookie cutter 808 beat in the background. God gave me a backbone, why should I back down? Forget the whack sound, the worst thing has gotta be the utter filth of debauchery they promote constantly. Cheesing for the crowds while they grit their grills, demeaning all the gals while they flip their bills. On that Amos and Andy tip and a red candy trick ride, they floss while the brandy drips. Prepare and you're gonna be over, foe. Hey yo, slow your roll. And you can tell Lil What's His Name and Young So and So are praying for you cats, but we've had enough of y'all. It's time for the pure, uncut and raw, like this.
All of it's uncut and raw.
I say yes, y'all, yiggy, yiggy, yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all, yiggy, yiggy, yes, yes, y'all.
Cause I've got a mind of my own, not moved by fame or nursery rhymes, cause I'm grown. What I hate is the fact that
okay. Praise the Lord. So they got so many great songs and have been playing different ones each week, little pieces. So again, great outreach, and let's really make the most of this, right? And really reach out and bring young people to this. Oneg, Fran reminded me we're having an Oneg. We'll have a Q&A or Q&C, question and comment, I like to call. In the gym, it's going to be this time. Is Debbie here today?
No, she's setting up.
She's setting up. Ah, she should be. We do too much work. Don't want people doing. All right. So anyway, praise the Lord. Yeah, she did such an amazing job. Her and Shirley and whoever helped last week. With the regular, which I love the way it's been going. But we are going to be in the gym today, and feel free to stay for some food and fellowship and a Q&A and. And yes, maybe we'll get into politics. I don't know. We'll see. If Sean's there, help direct. And Sarah, there's others that also have great input on that. So on that subject, and I do too. And I do want to say I'm going to mention something, and then I'm going to get quickly into message. But Matthew 24, Yeshua warned. He said, Matthew 24, be careful that no one leads you astray, Matthew 24:4. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will lead many astray. Verse 11, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. verse 24, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders, as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen, even the elect or the chosen. So we need to be discerning. We need to, we're responsible before God to research. I closed my finger in the poll machine because I set up one of the poll machines on Tuesday, Super Tuesday, and the only concern I had was, will I still be able to play pickleball after this? And I went. So, but you know, we're responsible before God to research and to discern. You know, not simply be enticed and persuaded by persuasive words and emotional appeal and rhetoric which resonates with our frustrations. Many people make promises, but Yeshua warned that we have to really discern and cautions us about that. And the prophets warned, of course, in the Tanakh. They warned many times that everyone will say, they'll be saying, don't worry, everything's going to be fine, and it wouldn't be, because God was bringing judgment in certain cases, and you have to be prepared for. So whatever, we need to be discerning and praying, and yes, we make a difference, So I hope you voted. If you didn't, you can still be active and make a difference in the when it comes. But I hope we'll be discerning. And I was reading something in Wormbrandt, and he said, we would all say God is omnipotent. There's nothing that God can't do. And he said, yes, there are some things God can't do. It says it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. Never thought about that. It's impossible for, he said, it's impossible for God to not exist. He's the eternal one. He can't not exist. And there's some other things that he mentioned too. But prayer is limited, but it has great power. I mean, God, sometimes Yeshua said to pray that your flight not be on the Shabbat when Jerusalem would be destroyed. He didn't say pray it wouldn't be destroyed, because it was already at that point going to happen, and God wasn't going to change his mind about it. So be in prayer and be discerning, and pray according to your conscience, of course. Vote and according to your conscience, but that's already happened. So let's talk about having our own temple. What about that? Wouldn't it be great to have our own temple? Have our own synagogue, our temple, a shalom center, a place. This is in Exodus 35, they're talking about building the tabernacle. And there are actually over 40 items mentioned. It's a very exciting time here. Look at Exodus 35. He says, verse 4, take from among you an offering, verse 5 actually, take from an offering for the Lord. The word for offering is tirumah. Let's say tirumah. And I'll have it up there somewhere. I don't know if I put it up there or not, so don't worry if I didn't. But tirumah is offering. I'll explain in a minute. These donations, offerings financially for the sanctuary, the mikdash. And he says, take an offering for the Lord, and that for Adonai, and then whoever has a willing heart, let him bring the Lord's offering, Adonai's offering, gold, silver, bronze, purple. Look at all the different colors, the items, the materials, all the work. Let every wise-hearted man, verse 10, come and bring, make everything. And basically you have in chapter 25 in Parashat Tirumah a few weeks ago, the Jewish people are given instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And now here we're told of the actual execution of the plan. Earlier, if you would, it would be like earlier was the architect's copy, and now the general contractor has been called along with the artisans to actually build the tabernacle. And you see all the enthusiasm, you see the excitement, the willingness, as people are their hearts are stirred, their spirits are stirred to come and build God's Mishkan. So think about that contribution, a sanctuary. They're internally inspired by God to give. Why build a sanctuary? God tells us back in Exodus 25:8, he said, so that I may dwell among them. Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them, it says in Revelation 21:3. In the future, we're going to actually hear these words. He shall tabernacle among them, they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them and be their God. Revelation 21:3. God said, dwell among them, not it, remember. Shechanti bitochem, he will live inside of them. And the rabbis even point out in the Talmud that the people themselves are the true tabernacle. The main place the divine presence would rest would be inside the Israelites, not in the wood and the metal of the tabernacle. Very important. So it's just like the New Covenant says, it builds upon all the thought, the Jewish thought that was already in place. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know, you are God's temple, and the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, dwells among who? You, right. 2 Corinthians 6:16, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's referencing Leviticus 26:12. So the purpose of the Mishkan was to provide a place where first and foremost Israel might meet God, a place for vertical intersection and only secondarily for horizontal interaction. So we have in this verse 5, Exodus 35, Terumah L'Adonai, offering for the Lord mentioned, or offering for Adonai, and then Terumat Adonai, offering of the Lord. So hear the difference. Offering for the Lord, offering of the Lord. Exodus 25:2, an offering says, an offering for me, li teruma, or, and then God clarifies again, my offering, terumati. So in other words, we give to God out only of what he has already given to us, right? Makes sense, right? It's really his. We're giving out of, that's why 1 Chronicles, we read it earlier, but I'll read a few verses again, 1 Chronicles 29:11, he says, yours, Lord, yours, Adonai, is the greatness, the power, and the splendor, and the victory, and the majesty. Indeed, everything in heaven and earth, yours is the kingdom, Lord. You're exalted above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over everything. Your hand is the power, the might. Your hand to magnify and give strength to all. Verse 14, but who am I and what are my people that we should be able, I love this, David saying, who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For everything comes from you, and from your hand we have given to you. It's all from you anyway. We are sojourners before you, mere transients, like our fathers. We're a shadow. He says, it's all from your hand in verse 16, and it all belongs to you. So the word terumah, let's say terumah means elevated for an existing goal. All right, I'm giving you the real root Hebrew. You're not going to find that in most commentaries. It means to be elevated for an existing goal, to raise up high. In other words, when I give, I'm becoming more like God. Right? When I'm elevated high to become more like him. When I give, it's his nature. He gave and gave his son for us, his sacrifice, gave everything. And when I give, I'm becoming more like him. I'm experiencing what it's like to him. Okay, now this is a little humorous. I'm going to play something, a little video, but it talks about the different kinds of giving, and I hope you'll enjoy this. Just a couple minutes, about 3 minutes, 2-3 minutes. Do you want me to come back to it, Miranda? Okay, we'll come back to it in a few minutes, in just a couple minutes. All right, so Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves," Yeshua said, "treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures," where? "In heaven," Bashamayim, "in the heavens, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So where I invest my money shows what I love and believe in. Sadly, some more easily spend money for a sporting event or a concert or a nice restaurant. Nothing wrong with those things. But they do that or clothing they don't need more than on God's, building God's tabernacle and his advancing his kingdom. If your heart, if my heart is in our congregation and our vision, it's if I really love and believe in this congregation, if this is yours or wherever you go, if it's somewhere else, you will invest your treasure here so that we can grow and fulfill God's purpose for this community. So three phrases are used in chapters 35 and 36. And one is Nadav Lev Ruach. Let's see, there is a slide for this, so you can, I think, there we go, perfect. Nadav Lev or Nadav Ruach means a willing heart, a willing spirit. And that's the idea of volunteering freely. Then Nasa Lev, let's say Nasa Lev. Okay, and we'll go back and say Nadav Lev. Nadav Lev. Okay, the second one means an uplifted or stirred heart. In other words, excitement, motivation, you're motivated. And then a third one is, these are all repeated in chapters 35 and 36. Chacham Lev, let's try that. Chacham Lev, beautiful. Chacham is wisdom, wise-hearted. In other words, research and intelligently decide. So they wanted to, and basically I'm going to sum it up this way. They wanted to do it, they couldn't wait to do it, and they were smart to do it, all right? They were smart to do it. There's really four types of giving I would describe. So maybe this will help us to understand. Four types of giving, and hopefully we'll be ready for that video in just a second. Miranda, give me a sign when you think you're ready for that. Okay. there are four types of giving. Guilt giving, and that's the way we like to give here. We want to encourage you to give because, or make you feel hard. No, honestly, we don't do that. We don't. You know, we don't make a lot of, you know, about money in Kol Di. We never have. We, you know, just have boxes, you know, tzedakah boxes in the front and back. We mention it in the service, but I don't know what people give. I don't want to know personally, as the rabbi. I really don't. I appreciate all our givers, and I want to appreciate that people are giving. You know, I really do. And but I don't want to know amounts that people are giving. I really don't. but there's guilt giving. I give because I feel obligated, and so I give grudgingly. Then there is what I would call get giving, and that's what this video I want to show that hopefully we'll have in a second. I give in order to get, all right? And some things are motivated by that, giving in order to get, and that's, we could also call that greedy giving. And then there's givelessness, where we become stingy and hoardy. Hoarding, rather. We hoard and we sow only out of our surplus. And it's basically tight-fisted giving. Now, what the Jewish people participated in here in Exodus 35 is God-giving. God-giving, right? Inner motivation as a response to outer inspiration. Inner motivation as a right response to outer inspiration. And so, so if we had a vision for our own temple at Kol Dodi, we have never, you know, haven't talked about it a lot. We've given the idea, but we're talking about having a building fund. But now we need a vision for our own temple. There's so much we could do. God didn't just design an ugly plain box for a house, as you read here. And not that this is an ugly place, we're glad to have this. So, but He designed something very beautiful, right? And it was detailed, and it was beautiful. And there's the story of a Shabbat school teacher began her lesson with the question, "Boys and girls," she said, "what do we know?" This is a messianic a Messianic Shabbat school. She said, "What do we know about God?" And a hand shot up in the air, and he said, "He's an artist," the young boy said. "Really? How do you know?" the teacher asked. And he said, "You know, our Father who does art in heaven." Did you get that one? It was cute, no? So if we had our own temple, we could even use incense. I've talked about that a week or two ago, about the incense. You know, I would love to do that, and be able to have incense to create an atmosphere, because, you know, God says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations," Isaiah 56:7. Prayer, you know, for all. And the following verse is amazing as well. It's actually, are we ready for that, Miranda? Okay, not ready. Isaiah, look at Isaiah 56, if you would. Isaiah 56. All right. Well, let me read this while we got here first. "For my house will be called a house of prayer." Look in verse 6. "Also, the foreigners who join themselves to Adonai to minister to him and to love the name of Adonai and to be his servants." Isn't that a beautiful verse, verse 6? Foreigners joining themselves to the Lord, to the Jewish people, to the Lord, you know, with the Lord, with the Jewish people, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord. Immigrants, you know, these are people that aren't part of Israel, that are from outside of Israel, and to be his servants. Verse 7, he says, "In my house of prayer, they'll be make them rejoice in my house of prayer." Then he says, "For my house," second part of that, verse 7, "will be called a house of prayer for" who? "All nations." Kol Hagoyim, all the nations, for all peoples. Look at verse 8. "Adonai Elohim, who gathers the dispersed of Israel, declares, I will gather still others to him," to those already gathered. Isn't that amazing? Others, God says. This is the prophecy of what's fulfilled in the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah. Now, Pastor Dan Scott of Christ Church, how many know Pastor Dan Scott? Wonderful servant of God, great man. Took over from the predecessor, who was a pastor, Pastor Hardwick, for 40 years or so. And he's a brilliant man. He said this at a recent meeting I was at. He said, "The sovereign God has opened up our city, Nashville, for a wave of people from around the world to come. Why aren't our churches loving and reaching them? They are the most fertile people in the city to receive the gospel." I loved it when he said, I loved it, I agree with him. You know, and he talked about, we don't do this, but he's talked about how many of these large churches are spending thousands of marketing dollars to reach people who are already reached, who already know the gospel, or who aren't really that interested. And people that are seeking the Lord don't care how much entertainment we have. They don't care how beautiful the facility is. They don't care how incredible the music is. Although I thank God we have, you know, for everything we can do in these areas to glorify the Lord. But he said they're just hungry. They just want to, and they're going to respond to someone that loves them and lives as a believer that loves them, shows them love. And I believe in that. But anyway, so that, to me, that's the most important thing, that, you know, we have that testimony and are able to work on reaching those people. So let's show that for sure already. And this is the different types of giving.
Hey. Larry David.
Huh?
That's great.
Never had a wing before.
I know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's your night to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
What is that? Wing donated by Anonymous.
Yeah.
Anonymous?
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about that. Now it looks like, it just looks like I did mine for the credit. As opposed to, you know, Mr. Wonderful Anonymous.
I know who it is. It's Ted. Ted is Anonymous.
What are you, kidding?
No. Isn't that great? He donated the whole wing. Didn't want anybody to know.
Well, he told you, so he apparently wanted somebody to know.
He told me, okay?
Who else did he tell? How do you know he just told you?
No. point is that he didn't need all the fanfare and didn't need a...
Fanfare? What fanfare? I don't like the fanfare. Are you saying I like fanfare?
You can tell a few people. He just doesn't need the whole world to know that he donated all this money.
You know what? I didn't need the world to know either. Nobody told me that I could be anonymous and tell people. I would have taken that option, okay? You can't have it halfway. You're either anonymous or you're not. What is he?
Look, people are pointing out and go, there's Larry David.
Oh, yeah, there's Larry David, the guy who has to have his name up on the wall, as opposed to Mr. Anonymous. But it was really Ted.
I'm proud of you.
Anonymous. It's fake philanthropy, and it's faux anonymity. What do you think about that? Oh, I want to go talk to Senator Boxer. I'll be right back.
Look at this. Anonymous. You really... I know. I didn't say. Larry, did you know this Anonymous is Ted?
Yeah.
You just can't.
I did.
Point I want to make is you didn't need to do this.
Well, you know, Senator,
that's true. He didn't.
But that's why I kept my... That's why I kept my name off, because I think it's the exhibit. It's the issue that needs to stand for.
And you're
not
so
me.
Passionate about the issue.
Thank you.
You know, too many people don't do things out of the goodness of their... They want the credit. You are number one in my book, Ted Danson.
Senator,
please don't forget that.
Sorry,
I've got to run. Bye, Larry. Bye, Ted.
So sweet.
See you later.
Bye,
yeah.
Great this one.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
What is this bull? Anonymous. Give me a break, Anonymous. If you're anonymous, how come people know about it?
It told maybe one or two people, friends, that I didn't think I wanted to have a secret.
Oh, really? I have a feeling everybody in this room knows.
Can I have your attention, everybody? We're going to start the ceremony, and Senator Barbara Boxer would like to say a few words.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is a night to thank two very special people.
You're full.
So one is Larry David. Larry David. We are very thrilled with his contribution. And the other is Anonymous.
Yes. Yeah. Woo.
Thank you, thank you. She had to do a little editing there, but anyway, praise the Lord. Oh, how can I follow that? That's just really... So, are we giving because we're giving to the Lord, or are we giving because of wanting credit, like you said, wanting, get giving in order to... So what a difference, The people here in Exodus 35, let's go back there and see, they gave because of the Lord's Spirit within them. It says their hearts, everyone, verse 29, Exodus 35, for example, every man and heart, woman whose heart made them willing gave toward the work that the Lord commanded to be done by Moses. And then God actually, there were actually leaders, or we would maybe say master builders appointed, craftspeople, spinners, everyone, so many hands to engage, many people getting involved, and all these people. But they gave out of what they had. Each gift was special because it was from the heart and out of what God had blessed them with, right? That's what's beautiful. There's no comparison. We use our gifts and abilities to build up God's house, our treasure, our talents, our time. We give all of these to God out of our differing resources. So if we have our own temple, our own building, our own facility in the future, we could let others use it for prayer and ministry groups use it. There's many things we could do, but even more importantly in my mind, as I said, as a means to reach the lost, those that don't know the Messiah, don't know Yeshua. Where God can meet with man and man can meet with God. We can have classes. I know of one Messianic congregation, rabbi, where they had a night, a special thing. They've advertised it well, of classes for the community in many areas of interest, secular and faith-based. We could have all sorts of classes do that, including, cardiovascular, help. All sorts of things. People. Then we can have our Bible. Then we have in the spiritual realm, Bible and Judaica courses and many subjects, along with discipleship. Training. Our Beit Midrash, if you will, ever expanding KDI. So here's another one. The rabbi got up one Shabbat and announced to his congregation, I have the good news and the bad news. The good news is we have enough money to pay for our new building program, our new facility. The bad news is it's still out there in your pockets. So again, we've never talked about this in depth, but 2 Corinthians 9 talks about the giving. And I want to show you some slides of Gesher Shalom that I have from a few years ago in Orlando. And just to give you a vision, there's their sanctuary. Just get a vision of what could happen if the Lord blesses it. There's Rabbi Charlie Kluge showing preaching. We see the ark, go back up. There's the ark inset, so the Torah is in the ark, the door's there. Okay, they have the wall, like the western wall, in Jerusalem, There's the bima and they have all sorts of nice for the Torah to be placed on. There's siddur, the books and everything, because you can, and even seats. It's all sorts of things, materials. That's his office. They have their own study. I know there's no place to do that now. I can't even have a place to study. Fellowship hall, for the onegs afterwards, a place to Judaica shop, which we pull out every once in a while, but we just can't do that because it's a lot of work. You have it Judaica. Very important, a storage facility to help give aid to people that need food and different things. And that's a Eitz Chaim, a tree of life of the donors, the people that, I guess, gave, you put, and that's typical to do in a synagogue, you have a place where there's recognizing those that have sacrificed and given a contribution. Larry David is not up there, I don't think, but you don't have to do that, but there's nothing wrong with that, recognizing people that sacrificed to, and just give a legacy, and something that you're proud of and your family knows. So 2 Corinthians 9, I'm going to bring this to a close with a few things here, a little bit. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, we read these verses. God loves a cheerful giver who you sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. This is the principles of giving. God is able to make all grace overflow by always having enough for everything. You may overflow in every good work. And enriched in generosity and amazing verses here. I'm not going to read it, but 1 Corinthians 12, 5 and 6 talks about gifts, service, and working. So gifts, we have gifts, that's our treasure, but they are talents, our service, and then our time. We sacrifice our time. The whole building being fitted together, Ephesians 2:21, growing up into a holy temple for the Lord. It's to glorify him, for him to be seen. In him you're also being built together into God's dwelling place in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:16, from him the whole body is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament. The proper working of each individual part produces the body's growth for the building up itself in love. So there were men and women, well-to-do, average, poor, everybody gave, everybody did something, what they could. And what motivated them, what inspired, galvanized, propelled them? The Word of God through Moses, the Spirit of God working through God's Word, the power of God seen in their midst, and I'm sure most of all, the prayers of all of them, the prayers of Moses and Aaron and many others who prayed. What motivates us? What inspires us? Think about it. We invest in the eternal. What is going to last forever? And obviously, a building won't last forever, and things won't last forever. But what's going to last forever? What will pass away? 1 Chronicles 29:15, for we are sojourners before you, mere transients like our fathers. Our days on the earth are like a shadow without security. I was thinking, how much longer do I have to, Francis and I have to serve the Lord. I want those years to count. I want them to count for eternity. I want to reach people and see people know that I've given everything to reach people and see people come in to know the Lord and make disciples for the Lord. And how long do we have? For some here in this room, 10 years from today, perhaps. It's possible. God knows when our days are. For some, 20 years. For some, 50 years, or for some more. But for everyone, think about it, for everyone in this room, 100 years, unless, you know, with medicine, you never know what things keep. But 100 years from today, we would look back and say, what really counted? Did I invest my life in what really counted? In seeing people, and God, what is eternal? God is eternal, Psalm 90. His word is eternal. I invest in his word. He's eternal. Psalm 119:89, you know, the heaven, thy word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words won't pass away, Yeshua said, never. In Matthew 24:35, and the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they are life. John 6:63, God is eternal, Psalm 90. He's the everlasting God. His spirit's eternal. People whom he has created are eternal. Eternal. We're made in the image of God. Yeshua said, what will it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and to lose his own, to forfeit his own soul? Where people are eternal. Every person I see will spend eternity one place or another, and they're going to live forever with God or apart from God. His love and his grace are eternal. Many verses we could give, Psalms 136 and 1 Corinthians 13. Your gift, my gift, is not from you or from me, and my gift, your gift, is not ultimately for you or from or for me. It's to glorify God by helping to build a house where he can dwell, where others can come to know him and grow in him. And if that means a facility, great. If it doesn't, praise the Lord, that's fine too. But we're praying about this. I'm asking you to pray about it because we think, as we pray, that for a testimony in the community and for a means to be able to do a lot more than we can do now, that it would be a God thing. We don't want, it's like Moses said last week in the parsha, if you don't go with us, Lord, we don't want to go. If it's not in his will, we don't want to do it, and we won't. But we think it is, and so we're praying that way and ask you to pray with us. And I'll close with a story. Richard Wurmbrand tells this following story, and I think this will minister to every one of us. Richard Hext was born with crippled hands and feet. His hands hung normally following an operation, but he had not the slightest power in them. This did not keep him from attaining his ambition to become a painter. He attended the School of Arts for 7 years, then he earned his living as a painter, wielding a brush with his teeth. Some of his paintings are so beautiful that they hang in Buckingham Palace. Moses became a great preacher, though he was a stutterer. Rahab became a saint and an ancestor of the Lord, an ancestor of Yeshua of the Lord, though she was first a prostitute in a heathen nation. Peter became a martyr, though he was a coward by nature. We first see him trembling before a servant maid who could do him no harm. After the resurrection, the same man stood in a marketplace in Jerusalem, defying the rulers of the nation and the mob. History tells us he eventually died for Yeshua by his own request, crucified, head down. A believer convicted of both adultery and murder probably would give up hope of ever again being useful to the Lord. But David repented and wrote beautiful psalms, which are our spiritual nourishment. Solomon fell into idolatry and promiscuity, but became the author of 3 books of the Bible. No physical, intellectual, or moral handicap is unconquerable. If you have no hands, paint by using your teeth, but make pictures for the Lord. Father, we thank you.